there, podcast listeners. Welcome to Chris and Tom's Youth Group Podcast, the podcast where three youth group leaders try to figure out how to do youth group better. My name is Chris Morphew. I'm an author, youth group leader, and school chaplain here in Sydney, Australia. And as always, joining me from Melbourne is author, speaker, and youth leader, and best friend of the podcast, Tom French. How you going, Tom?
I am well. Thank you, Chris. How are you?
I should really adjust that to say that I'm a former youth group leader. But maybe it's a, you know, once a, it's like president. You know, you still get called president. Is that how it works? Anyway, maybe.
That is, yeah.
In my heart, I think I'm always a youth group leader.
Yeah, you will be.
Anyway, forever. Tom, we've got a guest with us today, sitting in for the whole show.
We do. Woo-wee.
Who is it?
It's Alex. Hello, Alex.
Hey,
hello.
Alex.
Alex, I think you've interacted with the podcast before, haven't you?
Yes, I was an emailer.
Oh,
wow.
Yes.
One of those two. That's excellent.
Oh, we got an email this week as well.
We did.
We were just talking before we started recording about what we were going to do, and we didn't even mention
it's an show, Tom.
Email, yeah. There's a lot to do today. Alex, how do we know each other?
I am the leader of the youth group that decided to leave Tom's youth group.
Yeah, when we had some theological differences.
So if you thought Drake and Kendrick was big this week, just wait until we get into the details of that fracture. Have you guys been following the whole Kendrick v. Drake thing?
I have not.
A little bit. Somehow I got roped in. Not roped in. No one. I'm not. No one's.
Personally, I can't wait for your diss track, Tom. It's going to be excellent.
I think. Did they talk about it on the podcast that you recommended, Chris? The what's that one where they talk about youth culture? The I don't know. The Axis.
Oh. Yeah. What is it called? One. Yep.
I'm calling it the transistor, but it's not transistor.
Yeah, look, having recommended it, let me just have a look and remind myself what it's called. but yes, they did talk about it on that podcast, which is called, I listen to a lot of podcasts. The Culture Translator.
Oh, I was close. The Culture Translator. Anyway.
Did you feel like culture was sufficiently translated for you, Tom, and you could understand what was going on?
Yes, I did. And I was encouraged that Kendrick Lamar wants his son to follow Jesus. That's what I took out of this whole beef, is that that's what Kendrick Lamar wants from his son.
Well, look, I think if you can stop there, you've probably saved yourself many hours and you've reached the most edifying endpoint possible. Anyway, sorry, I sort of derailed your attempt to introduce Alex to the podcast. So Alex is, I gather, the traitor who ran away from... I say this as a fellow traitor who abandoned my group altogether. So like,
Really depends where you're looking at it from. Because from Alex's perspective, she's the one who came out of the unclean den of iniquity that was our... youth group.
Yeah.
Started her
I
own.
Feel like it might be like I feel like we've talked in like I've heard bits and pieces of this story, but I don't think I fully know what happened. So to zoom out a little bit, Tom, your youth group represents four different churches, is that right? Or is it three?
Yeah, well,
now?
I did a count today and officially there is four churches represented. But we have youth coming from eight different churches and
huge.
We represent another church who doesn't have any youth. So nine churches to some degree. So it's a complex beast.
And then Alex, you are a member of one of those churches and you have since moved on and started your own youth group.
I would have been church 11.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that just feels like too many.
Yeah.
I feel like so you made the right
makes
decision.
Sense that I had to leave. I was like, it hits over the 10 and it's too many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the story? What happened?
Well, I'll tell you my side and then we'll see what happens. So when I first started leading at the youth group, there was this group of like a few boys who were in year six at the time who were at the youth group, and they were coming from a local Presbyterian church where there wasn't a lot of youth stuff going on, and one of the youth leaders knew the pastor and he said, "Oh, you can send your boys to our youth group." And so they're coming along, and that was that. It was this kind of really unofficial kind of thing. And then when I came on as the youth minister, I met up with the pastor of this Presbyterian church. And he was like, "We were thinking we'd like to start our own youth group at some stage." And I said, "That's a great idea, because one of the things I always say is a combined youth group is better than no youth group, but not as good as your own youth group." And so I encouraged that, and they set a date, which was mid-pandemic, I think. And
I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
Was that the way it was phrased, or was this without knowing there was going to be a pandemic? Because well, otherwise it feels like a bit of a weird choice.
No, that was it was pre-pandemic. They were like, "Yeah, we think we'll do it maybe around somewhere like 2020, 2021, somewhere in there." Mm-hmm. And then I think in the end it started, it was 2020, beginning of 2022. Is that right? But we started working towards it at that point. And Alex came along the first time, I think, because there were some girls from who wanted to start coming to youth group. And she came along once to be their
support
friend,
person.
Their support person, their emotional support adult. And and then I asked if she wanted to be a youth leader, and she said no. And then she got asked again later for her and her husband to come and hang out with us so they could kick off the youth group. And that is my side. What happened on your side, Alex?
I think mostly similar. I don't have a memory of being asked to be a youth leader and saying no. So contentious there. But yes, we sent some of our youth along. And then as more of our youth started attending, me and my husband came along as youth leaders, although very rudely of us, we came along for 2 weeks and then nicked off to get married and then came back. We're involved in the combined youth group for a while. And then we hoped we would have enough youth group participants to come along with us to start up our own one. Because yes, we agree, ideally it's best to have your own church's youth group. Yeah.
What was the response? At what point did your youth know that the plan was to leave the big youth group and be part of their own youth group? And then, and how did they respond to that idea at whatever point they found out about it?
So some of them knew a little bit out. So our youth group is made up of kind of 2/3 of our youth are pastors or elders' kids. So they've got a bit of insight. So most kind of knew. Some of them then decided, so we've got some of our youth that stuck with Tom's youth group because they had friends that were the same age and the same gender sticking around there. And then some decided to come along with us. Mostly a positive, but we totally understood why some of those, particularly the older boys, at that point were older boys, did not want to come along and be the sole person in their age group and gender. They stuck with Tom.
Yeah, there was also another family, a significant family, who left your church at the same time to go and for their dad to become a pastor at a different church.
Yeah.
I think you thought you were leaving with 10 and then you left with 5. When you realized you had 5 instead of 10, how were you feeling?
Pretty apprehensive. It was a bit more rough than I thought it was going to be. I thought I was going to have a bigger group, but we didn't give up, kept going. We decided to continue to make our own youth group. And God's blessed us in lots of different ways by having a smaller youth group. That's been really awesome to see.
So where's it sitting now? Is it still around the five people point, or have you grown a little since then?
We have six. Yeah. we have a couple of friends that come along that are pretty regular, but from our church, we have six.
That's like 20% growth. That's pretty good.
Mm, yeah, not bad.
I feel like you can probably, the regular friends, I would count them as part of your youth group. Like, they might not attend the church at this point in time, but they're part of your group, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. So we have another, we get six pretty much every week, and then another two or three friends that kind of rotate. We tend to only get one or two of the friends at the time because they're all friends of the one youth who's this gun evangelist, and they just can't fit that many in the car. So it kind of gets one friend per youth group.
Actually, the power of the one gun evangelist is strong in my experience, because the youth group that I've recently finished up with, when that youth group first started, they were sitting on about six people for like quite a long time.
Yeah.
And we had this one guy who at that point came along, was in like year seven or year eight maybe. And this was all like right around the time I started with the group. And he just kept inviting his friends. He had a list. He was praying for them. He kept on inviting them. Yeah. And in the end, like one of them came and then another one of them came. And once a couple are coming, it gets easier. And
so,
from my experience, that was a big part of that youth group gaining critical mass. And so it's exciting. And you look at people like that and you're like, man, if every kid was like that, I mean, if every adult was like that, we'd, you know, we'd see revival in our generation. It'd be amazing. But, yeah, he, like, fast forward 5 or 6 years, there's like half a dozen of his mates coming faithfully along to the youth group every week. One of them's now in church who wasn't in church before. Another couple are, like, really seriously considering it all. It's cool to see. I don't know. I think stories like that are really great because hopefully they're encouraging for youth leaders, but hopefully they're also encouraging for youth that, like, you really can make that difference that you want to make by the grace of God. Like, he really does listen and respond to prayers like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, sorry, slight sidetrack, but I thought it was worth saying.
I had a really insightful question to ask after this, but I think, oh yeah, okay. So let's just talk about your actual, like, the youth group. What actually happens at your youth group? You got a small amount of people. What are some of the things that you think you like? What are the benefits in how you actually do youth group of having a small number rather than a large group?
Yeah. This is very apt because we ended up doing youth group for, I don't know whether this is a spoiler, youth group for the whole church on Friday. So my youth group of six with, you know, a couple of leaders went to a youth group of 60, and it was very overwhelming for me. but yeah, there was a lot of things I couldn't do that night that I normally can do. So one of the real benefits is we sit down for a meal every week. And that's normally one that's prepared by me or one of the leaders or one of the parents. So we get like a home cooked meal every week that we get to share with one another. And each of our leaders gets to really unpack the week with our youth, which is nice. And you know that you're getting to everyone because it's a smaller group. We get to celebrate wins, I think, a little bit better. We get to see them more obviously in that conversation with people, but also, you know, I get to keep track and celebrate each of their birthdays. I get to hear how their exams are going. Those friends that they invite along, we get to pray for more individually. And we get to really tailor what we're looking at for our studies and our talks a bit better to the group, because we can really be like, oh, here's my six youth. What do they need? What's helpful for them? What manner am I giving the studies in? So we're doing kind of hybrid talk studies. We don't do talks because it's a little bit awkward just speaking to six kids for 15 minutes. But also they kind of switched off. And if we found, we gave them pre-written questions They just were on the paper and not a lot was going in. So we've kind of been able to adapt to what works for these youth. Whereas if we had 60 youth, then we would kind of have to do a talk. It's a bit harder to do that kind of, hybrid with that group size.
Mm. The one thing that's sort of an offshoot of my former youth group that I'm still doing is catching up with a handful of them midweek to read the Bible, and that vibe of just like half a dozen.
Yeah.
There's something that you can achieve with that you just can't achieve with a bigger group. And I think as you say, just like knowing each individual person, you can kind of hold the needs of each individual person in your mind as you're saying whatever you're saying, which is like, you know, as the numbers tick up, you just can't do that. So
yeah,
there is something so powerful about it.
Did you have any indication from the youth when they went from a larger youth group, not particularly large, but a larger youth group to a smaller youth group, were there things that they appreciated about the change to something smaller?
We've got a, like, most of ours are introverts, so they kind of were kind of sticking to their own crew anyway.
Great.
I think they appreciate getting to have more input. We can kind of ask them what they like and what works for them, and apply it a little bit easier. I think it also helps them not get lost in the crowd, because I know that, a lot of my youth wouldn't be the first ones to speak up in a discussion. But if there's less of them, and if I've got them in a like group of two, they kind of have to. So that's been, encouraging that they have their space, that they're not spoken over as much, just because they've taken a bit longer to process. And it does mean that we play Mafia way more than I assume Tom's youth group does, because my youth really love Mafia, so that comes out a lot.
It's not played at our youth group, but, probably not.
I don't know, like, how can we do it. Once every two or three weeks, so it's pretty frequent.
Huge.
Yeah, I think ours would do it if we left them alone. Like when we just leave them to their own devices, Mafia begins to happen.
Yeah.
but we are normally programming other stuff to be happening. We have a youth run youth group coming up in a few weeks, and they were deciding what games we were going to play, and Mafia was high on the list of games that they wanted to play at youth group. So it's a good one. Good staple for
fan
all.
Favorite.
Yeah. All right. Why don't you tell us about what happened at youth group? It sounds like it's a great week to talk to you because you had a giant youth group. But it sounds like a great idea. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, definitely a good week, and a better week than last week when I had COVID and didn't go to youth group. this week, our church didn't do a church camp this year. They did a staycation because we just got a brand new building that we get to use. So we stayed there in the building, and we ran youth group. So our youth ran youth group for the church. So people came along on a Friday night. We had dinner. So we had wraps because that was the easiest thing I could think of to serve that many people with dietary conditions. And then they picked the games. So we normally do dinner, an activity, study, and another activity. So their first activity they played was taken from the podcast. So we played How Many.
Good one.
And it was a fan favorite there. And we had them nominate someone from their groups, from their tables. And then I also played a little bit of the, I don't know, bring me something game, where I'm like, bring me a shoelace and bring me a whatever, and they've got to bring games in. Really good fun to see how competitive some of the parents and some of the adults at church get. Although our youth tended to win most of our games. I think they just had home field advantage of having played all the games before. And then we did a study. So the theme for the staycation was Jesus Strong and Kind. So we had a look at the start of Philippians 2, talking about the character of Jesus. And our youth ran their study groups. So they each had a leader, either one of our youth leaders or someone else in the church, alongside them to kind of help them out. But They had the questions, they had the answers, and they ran groups of maybe 10 to 12 of adults and other kids. And then we played Mafia. They wanted to play a whole group Mafia. We said, that's going to take forever and it's going to be really hard. And they said, no, we're going to do it. So we used their, they made Mafia cards 1 week. So we used their Mafia cards that they made along with their bonus roll of the dog. So the dog's roll is once they die, they're reincarnated as a dog. And the dog has no special powers. They just can't talk. They can only bark. So you get to watch and bark if you want to input. So we had a couple of dog characters as well as the Mafia. It did mean that by the end, one of our other leaders who was running it was killing off kind of like five people a night because it was just taking too long.
Crank through it.
The Mafia were really spreading through the town. But it went well, and I think the villagers won in the end, even though five of them were going down a night. But, yeah, it was good fun.
That's great.
I have not – I have mixed feelings about Mafia as a game. Mm-hmm. How do you – like, what did you do with 60 people? What was everyone who had been killed doing while they were – were they, like, just – spectating at that point, or did they like go off and do something else?
No, yeah, they just spectate.
How long were you playing for?
Oh, it like maybe half an hour.
Okay.
It wasn't too bad because they were like, we knew early on, so the Mafia started off killing two people and then it kind of it was more than normal.
Go on. And what would have you heard from the youth, like what their perspective was on the night?
Yeah, I think their general response was pretty positive. They liked being able to show what they did at youth group to the church because youth group's kind of it can be a little bit of a forgotten ministry because it's not on a Sunday. You don't see it happen. So if you don't have youth age kids, then you kind of forget it happens. So they were excited to get to show their like friends at church and their parents what they kind of do and get them involved. Some of them were a bit apprehensive about leading the study. That's the first time they've all had that experience in that way. But they had so many people from the church encourage them and be thankful for them and pray for them. So they were really encouraged by that encouragement as well.
I think it's such a great idea. I'm like ticking over in my brain, how would I have run that at my youth group with like 25, 30 youth? But maybe, I don't know if it's easier or harder, but I think just as if for no other reason than to raise the profile of youth group within the rest of the congregation. I think that's awesome. I think it's such a great idea.
I'm just thinking about it. If we were doing it, we'd have
all your churches.
500 people.
it'd be like the Friday night conference of churches. But hey, wouldn't that be cool? Like having so many adults getting taught by a bunch of teenagers from churches all over Melbourne. I don't know. I think it'd be the logistics of making it happen would be beyond me right now. But I think it is a really great idea, and I'm going to keep thinking about it. Would you recommend it? You're sounding positive. Great.
Yeah, it was positive. It was, so I work for an organization called Mustard. So if you're in Melbourne, you might know Mustard. So they do work with running student-led lunchtime groups, Christian lunchtime groups in schools. And we had our prayer breakfast in that morning. So I was at work at 6 a.m. and then leading youth group of 10 times, not 10 times. Yeah, 10 times how many people normally had at night at 9:30. So I was probably not my peak for that night. So I'd recommend doing it on a night you're well rested. But aside from that, definitely would recommend.
Cool.
That's great.
Good one. Tom, are you going to talk about what you did at youth group last week?
I am going to talk about it. And Alex, feel free to chime in like one of the team, because here you are.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're in the middle screen of this call on my computer. So you Ooh. Are like central position, highest ranking.
yeah. So we, what did we do? We are working through our series of the greatest hits of Jesus, which I realized I hadn't explained to the youth all that well why the series was existed and what was happening. So that was on the agenda. But we kicked off the night with a game of, it was kind of like dodgeball, but it was called, I think they called it death ball. It was from one of the leaders who, one of our new leaders, and she had played it at her old youth group and she brought it along to us, which is pretty much is like dodgeball, except everyone's playing for themselves. So if you get hit by someone, then you have to sit down. But if that person who hit you gets out, then you get to stand up again. And if you catch the ball, then the person who threw it at you, they're out. And
love it.
It's great. It was really fun, but very chaotic. And also,
Sounds like it'd go a long time.
Yeah, it did. It went for a while, but because you get a lot of people getting out, but everyone is invested the whole time because they want to see the person who got them out get out. And so there was one young man who he was so good, he got most people out. And so when everyone was gunning for him to get out, and when he got out, it was like a resurrection and the game began again. With
well, because that's how it has to end, right? Like we've played this before. I think we call it Infinity Tag or something rather than Death Ball, but to each their own. But like, yeah, for the game to end, someone has to get literally everybody else without being God. So yeah. Rarely does the game end.
It's a little bit like there's that film, the one with Jet Li, I think it was in the 90s, where he went to all these different universes and found the multiverse version of himself and killed himself, and he got stronger every time until it was just him, the last one remaining. And it's a bit like that. You kill them off and you get stronger every time until it's just you remaining. That's... Maybe it's not like that, but I just think about that film more often than I should. anyway, so we played that game, and it turned out that that was probably our most, definitely our most violent game. Not like people weren't attacking each other, but we had two injuries, which is two more than we normally get at youth group. And we had one youth who cut his finger, and then he was quite a queasy kid. And so he saw the blood and then sat down lightheaded and then started vomiting. And so I was off dealing with that. And then another youth comes through and she's like, I cut my finger. I was like, how did you cut your finger as well? And she was like, I was throwing the ball and I hit it on my friend's braces, which which feels like the most youth group injury there is. So I was... calling parents and letting them know what was going on. And that's just an aside because it was interesting. But it was a good game. We had a good time. And it was really fun having this new leader who she hasn't led a game before, at least not at our youth group. I don't think before, but just seeing her, to think about it and plan it and get it done. And I feel like the last time I got someone to run a game, I didn't do a great job of supporting them through it, and I think I did a slightly better job this time. So I felt some personal growth myself and was pleased. Then we because of the injuries, they had to go on and run a different game, which I didn't really watch, but I think it was like Bang, but with lots of different animals involved in it. And then I did a Bible talk, and I spoke on Jesus Calming the Storm, which is a talk that I have been doing for years, like a very long time, and I realized I could bring it back because there was one youth in the youth group who would have heard it last time I did it, and I had such a full week last week because I was preaching and I've been doing a bunch of other stuff, and I was like, I'm just going to do something I've done before, and I know it's a good talk, and I did it, and it was weird because I was doing this talk, which I'm good at. So it was like the most polished youth group talk that I ever do at youth group. And it felt odd because it's normally a lot less polished, my talks. And they feel a bit more organic. Like there's a lot of feedback from the youth, which I still got a bit, but it was because I was much better at this one. It just felt a little bit less. I just didn't like it as much because it wasn't. I like it when I'm doing it in front of a group that I haven't met before or there's a bigger group. But with my group, where there's a lot more kind of interaction and we know each other better, I liked having a talk that was a bit more organic and tailored to them than the talk that I've just done 50 times before and know really well. Yeah, Alex, it looks like you were going to be like, I've heard that talk.
Yeah, that was that one youth group that I went with those girls was Jesus Calms the Storm. So I have heard that one.
Yeah. Yeah, but
I think I've heard it as well, Tom.
You probably have.
Been on your podcast at some point.
I think so, yeah.
Your other podcast.
And I listened to it when I was preparing. I was like, this is a pretty good talk. Like, there's not a lot I want to do to improve this talk. So, I think coming out of youth group talks, like, that wasn't an amazing talk. It's nice coming out going, well, I know actually that there's some authenticity that's gained from having something that's, tailor-made for that group at that time. And even if it's still coming together as you're giving the talk, there's something that you gain. But there was a young person who chatted to another leader about how it had spoken to them, which very rarely happens. And so God was still using it. And maybe it was just as effective or more effective. And it's just how I felt. And my feelings are inconsequential to what actually is the Spirit is doing. So there you go. And I reiterated, I told them why we're doing the series. And then we broke up into groups and they planned their youth-run youth group, except for my small group, who's not running one because they're year six. And so we just chatted and then we ate ice creams and that was the night. So there's my reflections, so I think.
That wasn't the one where I was used as a sermon illustrator.
No, I was, right? Yeah, I was, this is not youth group, but on Sunday I was preaching.
I just got all I know is I got a text from you saying, hey, do you mind if I use you as an illustration in my sermon tomorrow?
Yeah.
I can. And that's all I got. Well, no, actually, you gave me a little bit more
I gave
explanation
you the
than that.
Yeah.
It sounded like I was the Jesus in
yes.
that illustration.
Yeah, sort of. So
it was a bit dicey.
I skimmed it. I was like, I think I'm Jesus in this. And then I was like, I'm sure Tom is like going to clarify the distinctives between Jesus and
I did not. I said, I want to tell you about my friend Jesus, who's also known as Chris Morphew.
Oh, no.
So what happened was I was preaching. We have this event at my church called Sunday Funday, where we have the year fours to the year eights all go out together and have breakfast together, and then they go to church together, then they go and do something fun afterwards, and there's a little discussion there. And it's the idea is to help the tweenagers to get to know the youth leaders and some of the youth, and to experience church without going out to Sunday school stuff. And so I was preaching as well as running that event. And so I was preaching on Jesus, where he, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, where he talks about you can like either take the narrow gate or the wide gate. There's going to be false prophets. And you can build your house on the rock or the sand. He also says there's, the people come to Jesus and say, Lord, Lord, and his, didn't we prophesy? And he says, away from me, I never knew you. So it was a pretty heavy passage. And I started off by talking about these YouTubers who are all retiring at the moment, and talked about how they had their finale episodes, and this is the finale of the Sermon on the Mount. And then I talked a bit more about the passage, but it was all a lot of stuff about, like, you have to obey Jesus, otherwise your life is going to fall apart, particularly your life is going to fall apart when you meet the judgment of God. And I talked about how we, it all sounds pretty works-based, and that's where I brought in the last bit. I was like, well, let's talk about some YouTubers again. And I put up Marques Brownlee, who's like a tech YouTuber, and Mr. Beast, and I talked about how I really enjoy watching their stuff, but it makes no difference to my life because I don't know them. I don't have a relationship with them. But then I said, and here's another YouTuber. His name is Chris Morphew, and he writes books, and I read his books, but also he's my friend, and we hang out, and we chat, and we talk about ministry, and he actually makes a difference to my life. And I said really nice things about you and your integrity as a person and your ministry thoughts, and that like influences how I do ministry because I know you. You're not just entertainment, but you actually have an effect on my life, and you're my friend, and I like being your friend, and that's great. And I got to go to your wedding and eat great food. And the point was that what Jesus says at the end, when they say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do these things? They're talking about all the stuff they did, but the reason why Jesus tells them to go away is that he never knew them, and that the things that we do that save us come out of our relationship to Jesus. And knowing Jesus has to affect how we live. And so you were kind of Jesus in that illustration, but more I was illustrating that when you have a relationship with someone, it affects how you live. And when you have a relationship with Jesus, it affects how you live.
I'm glad not to actually be Jesus in the illustration.
Yeah. See, there's
my
a
other thought is that I would love to sit down with Mr. Beast and talk about ministry, because I'm not sure where he's at with Jesus, but I do think he'd have some thoughts that'd be interesting and helpful.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's now we're going into a different land, but Mr. Beast is moving away from shouting a lot to telling stories, which is
That's
one
a
of
good
the things
trajectory for any preacher.
Yeah, which is one of the things that you know is. Like we talk about a lot is like when we're preaching, tell stories. Like that's what hooks people in. And if your youth
don't
group can
shout
be
shout at your youth group.
Don't shout at your youth group. Oh, your youth group can be like Mr. Beastified and be like, you're gonna get all these prizes, it's gonna be huge. Or it can be Mr. Beastified, be like, let's tell the story of Jesus and get excited about the story and have an engaging story. Now we've just made Mr. Beast a how to do youth ministry. This is a viral article on the Gospel Coalition ready to go.
No, the viral article where we get cancelled by the Gospel Coalition?
Someone wants, what does Mr. Beast have to teach us about youth ministry? If it's not already there, someone wants it.
I feel like Christianity Today might take it and then the Gospel Coalition might cancel us for right.
Okay, yeah, good point.
Should we have an email?
Yes.
While we're still on the air, this comes from your 28-year-old youth leader. Have you read this ahead of time?
I did read it, yeah.
Okay. So number one is just 4 points. No salutations or it's just number one, Chris, stop Tom from quitting. So don't quit youth group, Tom.
Did I say I was going to quit?
I think you said you weren't going to.
Okay, yeah,
but
we
talked about the idea of it. But I need to stop you. So are you gonna quit?
No, not yet.
Okay, great. Done. number two, correction. I only started listening since the first week I was mentioned. For the record, I have listened every week since. So there you go. He doesn't just listen when he thinks he's going to be in it. Although he does come up most weeks, so it's a pretty safe bet at this point. Number three. Now, this I'm confused by this one. I don't know if we have talked about a different Alex last week. If I'm accidentally doxing someone here, you can like bleep it out or whatever. Fun fact, I believe Alex's cousin-in-law... Oh, no, maybe it is this Alex.
Yep.
So maybe you can weigh in here. Fun fact, I believe Alex's cousin-in-law used to be my neighbor. We knew him as Sheely. Alex does not yet know that fact. Is there a Sheely in your orbit?
So my... It's my last name, so yes.
Ah, well, that makes sense.
My husband is from a quite ministry-heavy family, and my family is... isn't really involved in church. So when I married in, I got many well-known Sheely relatives. I wonder which Sheely this is, but that's good to know.
Well, how many cousins-in-law do you have? That's probably one that might take
5 cousin-in-laws and then plus their spouses.
It's a lot of Sheelys.
That is a lot of Sheelys, yeah.
Unhelpful that they knew him as Sheely. Anyway, final thing, Paul, the air freshener is not worth the wait, which is just like absolute slander on my air fresheners.
You That's could wait all your that life happens on this it. Podcast. Whenever we talk about your air freshener, still, it's slander.
you could wait your whole life for it and get buried with it, and everyone would be like, this is the best smelling funeral I've ever attended. That's all I have to say about that. That was the email. While we're doing miscellaneous, can I pitch you a concept,
yes,
a half-baked concept for a youth group game?
I want it. Yep.
So I think I've been, I think I've said this before at some point, but a lot of my more out there youth group ideas are adapted from a TV show called Game Changer. Have I talked about this, Tom?
I think
anyway,
you may have, but talk some more.
Okay, so College Humor back in the day became Dropout TV, and Dropout TV is like a very niche streaming service, which also includes this show called Game Changer, the only show where the game changes every show. And it's basically improv comedians doing, like stepping into a game show that they don't know what it is and they learn by playing. And so How Many was brazenly ripped off from there. I should say I cannot in good conscience recommend, how do I put it? The worldview of the Game Changer producers does not align completely with my own, or I would also say the worldview of Jesus. However, so content warning, but I'm a big fan. Anyway, one of their recent episodes was called Deja Vu, and they got their three contestants in and they just started asking them quiz questions that were like impossibly niche and difficult. And they were getting everything wrong. And then they had a few other people come in. They had someone come in with like a big bowl of spaghetti and try and put it on the podiums. And then they had some other guy come in and do like a random podium inspection. And if your podium had spaghetti on it, you lost points. And then there was a thing where they were all asked to bribe the host, and the contestant who gave the host the most money won the point. And anyway, it went on and there was like no coherent thread to any of it, except then they reset the whole thing, reintroduced the players and started all over again. They asked the same quiz questions. They had all of the same like cameo appearances come in, and then they reset it again and again. And each time the contestants got a little bit better at playing the game because they played it multiple times before. And I don't know how you adapt. Like, I can tell you now, if I was doing youth group this term, we'd be doing some version of that game this term. because I'm not, I haven't figured out exactly how you adapt that to a youth group audience. However, I think it's brilliant. I think there's a really fun night in there. I will hand it over to you, Tom and Alex, and podcast listeners. And if anybody wants to do it, please tell me about it. Send us an email at chrisandtomsyouthgrouppodcast@gmail.com. I feel like there's a fun youth group activity in there. So there you go.
Have you got any thoughts, Alex? How to do it?
Yeah, it sounds... I'm not sure how to do it. I do know that we did a silly trivia night. Mm-hmm. So, like, I ran the music category. It was all Taylor Swift questions. One of our other youth leaders ran the animals category. It was all about sharks. Like, it was very niche, and they did not love it. So I'm not sure how it would go for our youth group. But I like the idea, and I feel like it would need to be a most of the night game for you to repeat it enough times that it, is worthwhile and becomes funnier.
I wonder if you could even like integrate the study into it, you know? You could do a talk.
Good way to reinforce a point.
Yeah, after the talk, you go back and
hear it again.
Do the activity again. And then you, I don't know, maybe you can structure a whole night around it.
If you're doing a youth group for, you know, like Hindu youth group where you get reincarnated, it'd be a perfect illustration, I feel like, but we're not. Here's what I would do, I reckon. Yeah, I'd do it all night and do it like, you know, mini Olympics style. So you have a bunch of different stations that you go to. So you can have like the spaghetti thing and the trivia thing and the whatever. And the first round would be super frustrating and they'd just have to go really quick. But then you could be like, all right, everyone back to the beginning. And then you start again and you start again, and you start again. And they slowly catch on, I think. Oh, hold on. I've got a couple
of the other things.
Yeah, sorry. Oh, you're going. No, I just thought of, sorry if you've already figured this out and you just said it and I wasn't listening. But is the point that if you're teaching it that as you follow Jesus, you're going to get better and better at following him as you go?
Like, I mean, there's your talk. It's like if you're talking about like formation or you're talking about, you know, like learning to read the Bible, learning to pray, this stuff feels so unnatural and weird and like it doesn't make sense at first, but the more you repeat it, the more you get into the groove of it and the more life-changing it can become. Guys, this is a great youth group night.
It's done.
Continual work of the Spirit as well.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Going to keep working in you, keep teaching you.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Chris, apart from that?
Oh, just like a couple of the other things that they did that I thought were cool and interesting. One of them was this little video game thing where it was like a maze and all of the, like you had to go like left, right, left, left, right, right, left to get to the end or whatever. But anytime you picked the wrong path, you died. And so each time somebody got to go, they had to like remember the path. And the other one that they did was, do you want a point or a block? And they would either get a point or they'd get a little like wooden platform thing. And then eventually they realized that there was something way up high that the only way to get to it was to stack up like four blocks and you could get on. So there's like fun ways you could, I don't know. I think there's a lot of cool like game mechanic-y kind of things you could do. But anyway,
can we watch this
pick that one up and run with it.
Is this on YouTube? Not that you recommend it?
It is, I think to watch
they
the whole
thing.
They
have their own streaming platform.
Yeah. Mm. So Dropout.tv, I think it is. I think it's like $6 a month or something. And you can watch all of Game Changer and get ideas for many youth group nights and also get the finger on the pulse of what the very secular progressive left is feeling about the world.
That's what I want.
A bit of cultural awareness and engagement as well.
And then I'll go watch the Daily Wire version of it to get the right-leaning pulse.
I feel like their games would be less fun.
Let's move on before you offend all the Ben Shapiro fans. Alex, what's happening at Youth Group this week for you?
This week is our first youth group in the building. So we're doing games linked with the youth group's requests for the church building. So they requested a mini golf court, so we'll play some mini golf. They requested youth group thrones, so we'll be making youth group thrones. And we'll be doing some, we'll be looking at First Peter in the lead up to VCYC next week.
VCYC, the kick, it's back on.
The kick is back on in 2 weeks. Yeah. That's really fun. I like it. Chris, you don't have to tell us about your cocktails again.
At youth group. I'm taking my wife out to a nice dinner because she's been on camp this week. And so we're going to be enjoying a nice Italian meal this Friday afternoon. What about you, Tom? What are you doing this week?
This podcast is becoming slightly depressing at the end. What you could be doing. But I also
let it be known how much I miss doing youth group. Like, it's not as though I'm sitting there being like, I'm so glad I'm not doing youth group right now. It's mostly just to cover up my pain.
You drown it in spaghetti.
Yeah.
You
can drown most things in spaghetti and it's a pretty solid system. Anyway.
We are doing small groups and small groups and dinner. So that would be nice. We're doing...
You could have spaghetti.
We might have spaghetti. I don't know. We've got a family who's cooking for us. They've not told us what they're going to make.
Are they Italian?
They are not that I know of. But I haven't checked. Neither of them are plumbers. So that's something I know about Italians. What do we do? Anyway, what we're going to do with our study is we're going to go back to the thing we did 2 weeks ago where we did the like gamified Bible reading, because the leaders talked about how they wanted to try it again in the same format so they could figure out the transition from the gamified Bible reading to actually applying the Bible. So we're going to do that. And we're going to do another story of Jesus, which I realized I hadn't picked yet because I'd had Jesus calming the storm down for that one, and I did it last week, and I'm just flying by the seat of my pants at the moment because I'm that guy at the moment. I'm that youth pastor.
So do you know which story you're doing?
No, it's one of Jesus' ones. Do you want to pick one for us?
Zacchaeus.
All right. We're doing Zacchaeus. And
speaking of Zacchaeus, this is not really for our target demographic, but if you're a youth leader who's also a kids' church leader, Carl Lafferton has just released a brand new picture book called The Man in the Tree and the Brand New Start, and it's super good. It's like Zacchaeus, but it also shares the gospel. It's great. Go get it.
All right.
I do, full disclosure, I work for that same publishing company, but this is not a paid endorsement. It's just I read the book to my year threes and they thought it was really good. But this is not a kids' church podcast, so moving on.
I might buy it for my three-year-old. And
link in the show notes.
Now I've got to put it in the show notes.
I'll look it up for you.
All right. Do you want to talk us out, Chris? Do the closing?
Oh, is it time for some music?
Yeah, well, I think Alex has got a heart out in about this link. 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, thank you, Alex, so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. Long-time listener, first-time contributor.
We love to see it. I'm going to assume that Tom is fading the music up in post right now. If you would like to find out more... Wait, how do I do this again? Thank you for listening to Chris and Tom's Youth Group Podcast with Alex. If you have anything you want to talk to us about, send us an email at chrisandtomsyouthgrouppodcast@gmail.com. If you want to find out more about Tom, go to tomfrench.com.au. Alex, do you want to share any social media contacts in front of a public audience, or shall we just say you only want to be contacted by your friends?
Yeah, if you know me, you know where to find me.
All right, sweet. And
go to chrismoffy.com.
All right. Nailed it again. I just can't do it without the music.
Yeah. We're going to have to solve that one.